support from Vexstrans, and appreciate your courtesy and respect and lending them that good feeling. And it's wonderful to see so many well-wishers, and Michaela certainly had a lot of friends, and we're certainly grateful for the tribute that you show by being here. My name is Randy Richards. I am the Bishop of the Hidden Canyon Ward of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Vexstrans are members of our ward and have been a tremendous blessing and asset to our ward. And we extend our warmest welcomes to each of you for being here. I see members of the staff at University Medical Center here, as well as friends and family. We're so grateful that you're here and so pleased that you're here. I hope that you feel welcome here. We would like to thank Sister Rachel Peoples for conducting the music and Sister Nancy Robinson at the organ. We would now like to open our services by singing hymn number 301, I Am Child of God.
Pay our respects to Michaela, her family,
to feel her love, to remember her and her wonderful life. We are grateful for her, Heavenly Father, grateful for her energy, her exuberance, grateful for her wonderful, sweet spirit, and the joy that she brought to our lives, and to many who are not able to be in attendance this morning. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the teachings of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the understanding that our lives continue, and that we will have the opportunity to see her again. We ask thee now that thy spirit will be with us during this time together this morning, that our hearts will be touched, that we may feel love in our hearts, that we may be grateful for all of the blessings we receive each and every day. We ask thee, Heavenly Father, to please bring peace to the hearts of Scott and Carrie and their children, that they might know and feel of thy love more than they ever have, that we may all remember and give each other support each and every day, that we may live our lives in a way that will honor Michaela in the way that she lives hers. We ask for these blessings and give these thanks and do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We are gathered here today to mourn and also celebrate the passing of Michaela Kayleen Beckstrand. We mourn because we miss her desperately, her sweetness, her kindness, her courageous example of endurance through incredible physical tribulations throughout her life. At the same time, we celebrate her passing because of her zest for life and the knowledge that she has moved on to a more spiritual existence free from all physical pain. Mickey was born March 12, 1996, to Scott and Carrie Beckstrand. Her birth was a great celebration for her family, but at the same time was major cause for concern due to her severe heart problems at birth. At 2 months of age, she underwent her first two open heart surgeries. Surgeries 3 and 4 came during her third month. Her first birthday was celebrated in a hospital room, and the next day she underwent her fifth heart surgery. She was given a reprieve of sorts, no more major surgeries for 2 more years until she was 3 years old, her sixth surgery. Her seventh surgery at age 5 seemed to be more ominous than some of the previous times. Make-A-Wish Foundation representatives met with her and asked her what her favorite wish might be. Without hesitation, she asked that her whole family, and I want to emphasize the word family, she didn't just ask for herself, but wanted her brother and sisters and parents to join her in the celebration, to be able to go to Disneyland, which they did, and a few days later, on July 5th of this year, she underwent yet another major heart surgery. Things didn't go well, and she had her 8th and last major surgery on July 28th. And 5 short days later, her taxed heart stopped beating. Her passing from this life is what we mourn today, but let us set that fact aside for a few minutes and celebrate her sweetness, kindness, and incredible example of zest for life. Anyone who knows Mickey was familiar with her finger habit. Whenever she was nervous, unsettled, or just wanted to be comfortable, 2 fingers went into her mouth. If she was asleep and the fingers were removed, the 2 fingers of her other hand took their place. Most often the fingers were chocolate, according to Michaela, but once in a while they were strawberry. Mickey accepted her physical challenges matter-of-factly. While she didn't like injections and many of her medications, she understood the need for them. Her main concern when going to the doctor was if she was going to receive a pokey-owie. If you told her yes, she would scowl a bit and then say, okay, and usually never cried. Upon learning from her parents that she needed another operation last month, her simple yet faithful comment was, to her grandfather, I'm going to get another pokey-owie and a new zipper, and then I'm out of there. Over time, it became very difficult for many who served as Michaela's nurses to give her injections. Sometimes they would just draft people Michaela didn't know to do the deed. Mickey was also very good at taking her medicines, even if the taste was bad, and the only exception was Tylenol with codeine. But she didn't like that one at all. Mickey loved to play outside by herself or with others. She loved to swim with Brittany, her best friend, have long baths, and go for bike rides with her dad as long as she got to sit in the trailer. At any time the camera appeared, we would find Mickey in front of it, smiling with her fingers in her mouth. Mickey wasn't scared of much, which isn't surprising considering all her hospital stays. She had her first sleepover at age 4, and when her mom got her to the door, Mickey turned to mom and told her she could go, and that she would see her the next day. When the family toured Disneyland, Mickey went on every roller coaster ride available, Space Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain, and Splash Mountain. I was wondering when I was riding these slots down how she ever passed the height requirement, and her dad told me that she just barely did, brushed up against that height limit every single time. After the Peter Pan ride, Mickey turned to her mom and asked if that was as fast as the ride was going to go. Many times you'd hear her voice on the ride saying, faster, faster. Mickey loved people, but she developed a special fondness for those who cared for her. She knew them by name and felt safe with them. Many times when her mom and dad were sleepy, she would tell them to go home, because she would just be fine with her nurse. Once when Dr. Evans and Dr. Maiman came to see her, Dr. Maiman tried to get Mickey to tease Dr. Evans. Mickey said she wouldn't do it because she loved him and didn't want to make him sad. She was looking forward to her trip to the park with Sherry, her nurse, and Sherry's puppies that they planned together when she was in the hospital. She never indicated that life was unfair, but she did let Mom and Dad know that it was often inconvenient. She cared about others as well, and in the hospital a few weeks ago, she wanted to share some of the things with another little girl her age who she saw was sad. While in the hospital, it was very important for her to call her brother Nathan on his birthday. Even though she felt miserable, she wanted to let him know that she remembered him and to personally express her love to him. She often reminded her parents about her medications, even the ones that tasted bad or at least smelled bad. Her parents could count on one hand, however, the times she tried to get out of taking those yucky medicines. Mickey didn't really think or behave like she had any physical limitations. She wanted to run and play with her siblings and her friends. She even told Carrie that she wanted to take karate when she was all better. Her doctors and nurses returned the love she demonstrated to them. They showed this love in many ways, such as nicknames for her: Doodlebug, Sweetness, and Sweet Pea, to name just a few. Even when she went to the hospital for a visit, Michaela would go right into their outstretched arms and give them big hugs. Mickey would want me to pay tribute to her loving medical professionals, for you see, they have known her intimately her whole life. They gave her baths, held her close when she was growing up, read to her, and played with her. Thank you, Sherry, Pat, Cheryl, Ed, David, Virge, Natalie, Debbie, Dr. Connie, Dr. Sterrett, Dr. Bobra, Dr. Weinsett, Dr. Stamato, Dr. Evans, Dr. Maiman, Dr. Cass, and a host of others. I don't think it would be inappropriate if I asked those medical professionals who are here this day to just stand for one moment, please. Thank you so much. We appreciate your loving efforts. Mickey doesn't believe, nor do Scott and Carrie, that any girl had as many wonderful people who loved her and wanted to make her well. Now, wasn't that a wonderful celebration? When we speak of Mickey and her radiant personality and loving character, it is difficult to mourn. Knowing that although her body lies lifeless before us this day, the personality and character I have just described, I testify to you, continues to live. This knowledge gives us even greater cause for celebration. Even at 5 years of age, Mickey had this eternal perspective. At dinner about a month ago, she turned to her family and said, quote, "You know, guys, when I go to the hospital this time, I could die. But it's no big deal, because I'll be with Heavenly Father and Jesus." Close quote. The scriptures and modern day prophets of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints agree with Mickey's testimony. The prophet Brigham Young said, quote, "Here we are continually troubled with ills and ailments of various kinds. In the spirit world, we are free from all this and enjoy life, glory, and intelligence. And we have the Father to speak to us, Jesus to speak to us, and angels to speak to us. And we shall enjoy the society of the just and the pure who are spirits in the spirit world until the resurrection." Close quote. He stated on another occasion, quote, "We have more friends behind the veil than on this side, and they will hail us more joyfully than you were ever welcomed by your parents and friends in this world. And you will rejoice more when you meet them than you ever rejoice to see a friend in this life. And then we shall go from step to step, from rejoicing to rejoicing, and from one intelligence power to another, our happiness becoming more and more exquisite and sensible as we proceed in the words and powers of life." Close quote. I believe that my daughter, Laura Beth, was one of the friends who greeted Mickey as she passed on this earth. Brother Brigham also said, quote, "The brightness and glory of the next apartment is inexpressible. It is not encumbered so that when we advance in years we have to be stubbing along. And be careful, lest we fall down. I think we can all relate to that to some degree. We see our youth even frequently stubbing their toes and falling down. But yonder, how different. They move with ease and like lightning. Close quote. Mickey has a lot more physical ability right now than just learning to run. The loss of a loved one such as Mickey causes many to ask why. President Wilford Woodruff describes an eternal principle that he discovered with the loss of one of his children. Quote, I had a son who, while in the North Country, drowned. He had had a warning of this. In a dream, he was notified how he would die. We had testimony of that after his death. I asked the Lord why he was taken from me. The answer to me was, you are doing a great deal for the redemption of your dead, but the law of redemption requires some of your own seed in the spirit world to attempt to work connected with this, close quote. That was a new principle to me, he said, but it satisfied me why he was taken away. I name this because there are a great many instances like it among our Latter-day Saints. Could our sweet Caleb be any different? With her tremendous personality and wonderful character traits, could she not perhaps have been chosen to help do the work beyond the veil for her kindred dead, to help and assist those in this life and do the same? Furthermore, President Joseph Fielding Smith tells us that not only will Mickey go to the celestial world, but that she will be exalted in its highest kingdom. Quote, our beloved friends who are now deprived of their little ones have great cause for joy and rejoicing, even in the midst of deep sorrow that they feel at the loss of their little one at this time. For they know she is all right. They have the assurance that their little one has passed away without sin. Such children are in the bosom of the Father. They will inherit their glory and their exaltation. And they will not be deprived of the blessings that belong to them. And in the wisdom and mercy and economy of God, our Heavenly Father, all that could have been obtained and enjoyed by them if they had been permitted to live in the flesh will be provided for them hereafter. They will lose nothing by being taken away from us in this way. Close quote. Carry. Joseph Smith taught the doctrine that the child that experienced death would come up in the resurrection as a child. And pointing to a mother of a lifeless child, he said to her, you will have the joy, the pleasure, and satisfaction of nurturing this child, and may I say, of continuing to nurture this child. After its resurrection, until it reaches the full stature of its spirit, full story. President Joseph Fielding Smith commented on the statement by Joseph Smith saying, quote, there is restitution, there is growth, there is development after the resurrection from death. I love this truth. It speaks volumes of happiness, of joy, and gratitude to my soul. Thank the Lord He has revealed these principles to us. Close quote. Mickey's life, although short, has in many ways been a long, righteous, arduous process. Care and nurturing by parents, relatives, medical professionals, and other friends. Numerous priesthood blessings to heal Mickey's frail body. In the Doctrine and Covenants, section 42, verses 44 through 46 and 48, we read, and the elders of the church, two or more, shall be called, and shall pray and lay their hands upon them in my name. And if they die, they shall die unto me. Thou shalt live together in love, insomuch that thou shalt weep for the loss of them that die. And it shall come to pass that those that die in me shall not taste of death, for it will be sweet unto them. And again it shall come to pass that he that hath faith in me to be healed, and is not appointed unto death, shall be healed. These four short verses summarize quite well why we mourn and celebrate today. Mickey has been nurtured to the fullest extent by the best medical professionals and priesthood holders available. Although she was healed sufficiently to live 5 years when many thought she would never survive her infancy, she has died unto the Lord because she was appointed unto death. Her life was a mission of love, exemplified by the Savior. Her life has helped make bad people good and good people better. Because of her, we are gathered today in love and weeping because of our separation from her, which on the other hand is but a speck in the eternal timetable of God. We look forward to the resurrection, when Mickey's body can be reunited with her valiant spirit, and she will be able to experience a fullness of joy. Mickey has passed the test of this probationary life. Her exaltation is assured. Ours are not. May we use her life an example of endurance and faith to live a bit more righteously each day. May we be motivated to give up that sin that keeps us from having His Spirit to be with us always, so that we can experience great joy and happiness in this life. Scott and Carrie, you have devoted your time and energy to seek after the One, requiring more nurturing and care because of the physical limitations. Going forward, your challenge will be to trust God, that He knows better. That Mickey is in loving and kind hands and is happier now that her pain has ended. It is time to turn back to the 90 and 90 and how beautiful they are. To nurture the rest of your children and grandchildren with the same zest, you have devoted yourselves to Mickey these past 5 years. And as you do so, God will bless your efforts and ability to cope with this loss. For when we are in the service of others, we are only in the service of God, and great happiness, peace, and joy is our reward in this life and the next. And I can personally testify to you that the passage of time brings great perspective and cures many heartfelt ills. I bear testimony to everyone here present that God lives, that Jesus is the Christ, and that salvation comes only through Him and by Him. I anxiously await His return and pray that I might be worthy to be His servant and friend, and that we all might do likewise. I also bear solemn testimony that Mickey lives. It would not surprise me that if our eyes were open to see spiritually, she would be in our presence at this very moment, participating in this feast of mourning and celebration. May you all be comforted. May the Spirit of the Lord descend upon us all and fill our hearts with the love of God, that we might know in our hearts, not just in our minds, that these things are true. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. that tells us what spirit paradise is like. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of those who are righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles and from all care and from all sorrow. What a wonderful blessing and comfort it is to know that that is where Michaela is, a place of peace, a place of calm, a place to be free of rest. These last few weeks have been a very traumatic time for Michaela, physically and emotionally. The physical stress was immense in the last few days, and she endured that extremely well. Her physical body was under a lot of trauma, was under a lot of stress, and now she's free of that, and she goes back to a place that she can be free of that sorrow, free of that stress. What a wonderful promise it is to know that that's where she is at the moment. I was talking with Scott and Carrie a few days ago as we were returning back from visiting the mortuary, and we were reflecting on Michaela's life. And you know, we've been blessed with so many wonderful advances in medical technology and science. Michaela was a beneficiary of that. It wasn't long ago when children born with the heart condition that Michaela was would not have survived very long after birth. And with each child that comes onto the earth in that condition, we learn a little bit more, we advance a little bit more. And Michaela made it 5.5 years. That's 5.5 years as we were talking of some wonderful miracles. Each time getting to a new threshold, seemingly believing that, you know, maybe this was the time that it would end, and yet it continued on. Not very many years ago, parents would not have been able to enjoy 5.5 years with their children. What a blessing. We believe in that we are a church of miracles. We believe miracles happen in our lives every day. I testify to you that they do, and they happen not only in our church, but to people throughout the world. What a wonderful blessing that is. And our Heavenly Father cares enough about us that we can beat the odds, that we can beat medical science, that we can advance medical science. They learned some things with treating Michaela in 5.5 years, things that will benefit other parents and other children that will come along with these same health conditions. So she'll leave a wonderful legacy of medical science and advancement that will be a blessing to countless other children. Over about 125, approximately 125 children who suffer from the same condition as Michaela. And I'm confident that in the next coming years we'll continue to push that survival rate out there farther. Thanks to Michaela's zest and enthusiasm for life, which I'm confident contributed in part to the fact that she was able to live as long as she did. There'll be others that will be blessed from that. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity that she has had to come and contribute to that cause. The next friend has asked me to talk briefly about eternal families. At the close of our services, we will sing a song that says families can be together forever. We believe that. We believe families do not end at death. We believe that through obedience and faithfulness, following death, that families can be reunited. And that they will all come back together again. Now, for the adults and those who are beyond the age of 8, there's some work that needs to be done.
pleased to say the veterans are doing many of those things and confident that they'll be reunited with Michaela. But some thoughts that did impress me a little bit, just by way of reminder, because again, Carrie tried so hard to set up such a wonderful foundation for their family. They have some wonderful family traditions in their home and the way that they do family prayer. Some of the little things they do to express love and appreciation to one another.
once we have done this family history work, we then go to the house of the Lord, to the temple of our God. We are blessed in this valley to have a temple over on the east side of the valley. A sacred place. We literally believe it is the house of God, the house of the Lord, and that holiness reigns in that house. And there we can do, take those same names that we have researched in our family history and our genealogy, and help them share the same blessings that we believe that Caleb is now experiencing. So genealogy and tenth work is a wonderful way to help keep us on the path that will allow us to be found worthy to return together as an eternal union and to be reunited with Caleb. Mortal life is a very small but essential step in the eternal scheme of things. It's a critical step. But relatively speaking, it's a very short step. We believe much has gone on before we came to this earth. Much will go on after we die. I'm reminded of the poem by Victor Hugo, who wrote, "Be like a bird that, pausing in her flight, a while on boughs to light, fills them give way beneath her, and yet sings, knowing that she hath wings." We pause here on the boughs of mortality very briefly, and then we take eternal flight on wings of comfort, knowing that this is not the end. I testify to you, it is not the end. That Michaela is going on to spirit paradise. She will someday be in the celestial kingdom. The Beckstrand family will be reunited with her, as David Sowell wonderfully laid out, and that Carrie and Scott will have that opportunity to nurture and raise Michaela. I testify to you of these truths and give and express my heartfelt appreciation and love to the Beckstrand family and their extended family. We're so pleased that they're all here. Many of them have traveled long distances to be here from Michigan and other parts of the country. We have many close friends that are here in attendance, and we express our love and appreciation to each of them. It's wonderful that families can come together and bond and strengthen one another in times like this. There's so much of broken families and homes in the world where feelings of anger and resentment build up, and so when there's situations like this, it's difficult for them to come together. But that's not the case here. Again, I testify to you of these truths and of the love that our Savior has for the Beckstrand family and for each of us. I testify of these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I'm pleased to hear from Brother Scott. Scott's a little bit braver than I am. I don't have the courage to get up here in this situation, but Scott has such a wonderful heart of gratitude and understands how many people have been concerned about the Beckstrands and wanted to say a few remarks. Following Scott's remarks, we will have a closing hymn on hymn number 300, Families Can Be Together Forever, after which Michaela's grandfather, Gordon Beckstrand, will be our invocation. Following the closing prayer, the casket will be taken out. Again, ask your courtesy and standing out of respect. Beckstrands have thought long and hard about where to bury Michaela. It's a difficult decision. A young family, sometimes we don't always, these are decisions that we're not always contemplating. I wanted to just add on a note that Carrie and Scott and their family were so faithful from the very end, never giving up, always having trust that another miracle will come. It was a really strength and inspiration to me. I did not contemplate at all this outcome. And trying to stay faithful to the end, I should really be honored for that. I really appreciate that. But they thought long and hard, and thought it would be appropriate to find a peaceful place for Michaela to rest. And so they've chosen the Logandale Cemetery in Logandale, and the burial site there will be dedicated by their son and Michaela's brother, then following the burial service, the family will be returning here from
brought two boxes of tissue to the front this time. As we walked in, we were standing. I don't believe my family saw me. I would like them to look at me. It is amazing to me that a young girl of 5.5 years could generate such love and support that this many people would sacrifice time to be here for this service. I've told people that one of the things I will miss will be the ability of learning from the hands of the master how to manipulate people. With a smile, the fingers in the mouth, and a grin, Michaela could win over the hearts of almost anyone that I ever ran into. I remember once being in a grocery store and lying behind a gentleman who must have had a really rotten day. He was upset. He was frowning. Michaela was in the stroller. And every time he looked at her, she grinned at him. And he couldn't stop looking. He tried. He kept looking at other things, but his eyes kept going back to this little girl in the school. By the time he checked out, he was grinning. I don't know how long the grin lasts, but I know that just by smiling, she could improve my day. I wasn't sure what I was going to say, but I knew I had to stand before you. I am Miss Michael. But I do not miss what she wanted. And I am glad that she is happy. And I know that she is happy. I hope one day to know all of the reasons. But until that time, I will have faith. I am grateful for my family, for my immediate family, who loved their sister, who gave up birthdays and celebrations because of where she was, and felt it was important that we concentrate on that. For a son who is so relaxed and has such faith that he was asleep. For a wife in deep sorrow. For my extended family, who gathered from many different areas without hesitation, to our friends, to you. It has been your support, your love, your prayers that have helped so much. I express my special thanks to the nurses and the doctors for the love you had for my daughter. And she quit. And she still does. When I was asked what we wanted to do with the program, I had no hesitation whatsoever because I knew that was what she would want to say, what she would want you to hear, what she would want you to understand. things, because I know that she loves that. But unfortunately, once my eyes water, my vocal cords freeze. And what used to be a nice tenor voice becomes something. My heart is filled with gratitude. And yes, in a strange way, joy. Thank my Heavenly Father for the honor and the privilege of having such a special child in my life. And I pray that as a father, I will be able to help my family to live lives, to grow, and to be worthy of living in their lives. These thoughts I leave with you. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Now we ask a special blessing blessed with safety in our travels, whatever direction we might be going. Maybe from the cemetery, and also our various homes of the Lord. May we always recognize the truth of all things, giving thanks to those who have made it possible.